Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM.
I'm Dr. Ralph Ford, Chancellor of Penn State Barron, and host of this week's Business Spotlight. Joining me today is Courtney Stedding, Director of our Academic and Career Planning Center. So welcome here, Courtney.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, thank you for joining us. Today we're going to talk about a lot of things that are of great interest to both employers, our students, parents, and frankly, higher education in general. You play a really key role here in terms of helping match students up with their careers, matching them with employers. It seems like a really interesting place to be. So why don't you just take a minute, tell us a little bit about how you ended up in this role, your background. How did you end up in Erie, PA?
So from my background, I got a bachelor's degree in psychology and knew that I wanted to help individuals. So I went into a counseling program, received my master's degree, and went straight into higher education. And through those roles, I was able to help with admissions of graduate students, academic advising, and then the career planning. And the piece that stuck out to me of how I could help the most individuals was the career planning. So I was able to work with both the employers and the students to look at their career plans and then get an appropriate match between the businesses, employers, and then the successful student. And so I started here at Penn State Barron in 2011 as a career counselor, transitioned to an employer relations coordinator, so working strictly with our employers to get them on campus and allow them opportunities to meet our students, and then transitioned into the director of career services role in 2014. And so one of my favorite pieces is making those connections between the businesses with our students here at Penn State Barron.
Tell me a little bit, though. I hear a lot from companies. They come to us and they say, I'd like to recruit your students. So many of them, I think, don't have a great understanding. Some do. But how to get the best students, how to build this connection to campus over the long term. Could you walk us through? So if you're an employer and you want to work with any university, you want to work with Penn State Barron, what's your advice for them? How do they get the best students?
Yeah. So within Career Services, we try to make it as easy as possible for those companies to recruit students. And what we say is building your brand or building a presence on campus is your best opportunity to reach out to the students. So for example, here at Barron, we have students applying to internships. So our companies are actually meeting these students while they're still enrolled here in school. And so the best way to be connected is to get involved early, meet these students during their first and second year, host them for internships or co-op programs, and then also an opportunity that some colleges or universities might offer, similar to here at Barron, is we like to integrate a lot of that company work into our students' schooling. So for example, we have innovation through collaboration through our Black School of Business, where companies can work with faculty and students. We have our senior design projects through our School of Engineering, where our companies are working hand in hand with those faculty and students. So they're building connections in the same time recruiting students and alumni.
I think that's the best way to see our students. You get to experience firsthand what they're actually capable of doing. It's different than just asking them a set of questions. So do you have any idea of how many students get hired from those projects into roles? I mean, just a ballpark. Is it a common thing that happens?
Yeah, and so what we hear from employers is that's their best interview process. So if they are working hand in hand with the students through a project or through a senior design project, they're able to see the success that the student can have in a real life work environment. So the percentage is pretty good when we look at this long-term interview and the businesses being happy with the success of the student's work.
Well, how about things such as the information sessions on campus? Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of companies like to do that, but that seems to be maybe falling out of favor, or is it?
So it's a really good point. What we've seen as a national trend, career fair numbers are going down, information session numbers are going down, and a lot of companies are starting to do more of their recruitment online. So some are even switching to texting, social media, and that's how they're doing a lot of outreach. I would say here at Behrend, it's quite the opposite. Our career fair numbers continue to grow, both on the employer side and the student side. For information sessions where employers come to visit campus, we've had almost 30 this semester only. Wow. So we are seeing increased numbers of companies getting to campus, and I think it's because our students are starting to realize the importance of connecting with these organizations. So they're showing up for information sessions, they're showing up for information sessions and on-campus interviews. And the one thing that I would add, some of these companies can't make it to campus, and that's okay, because we know that, at least at Behrend, we're looking at organizations across the nation. So at the very least, we're offering them an online job posting platform, Nittany Lion Careers, that allows companies to connect with students and alumni across the Penn State system.
Now, we've got a lot of small companies. They don't have big HR offices and large organizations. Are they at a disadvantage, or can they compete with the big companies?
Yeah, and that's a great question. One of my roles is to take the stress and discomfort out of recruitment, especially for those smaller companies who may not have an HR team. So they may not even have one person devoted to recruitment or HR. And so what we do is we tailor that recruitment plan to match their needs. So for example, we had a few more startups and entrepreneurs, more than normal, attend the career fair. And the success of small businesses attending career fairs is they're only giving up 4 hours of their time, but they're meeting a large amount of students. So really, when you're talking about the difference in sizes and if they have an HR staff, we just tailor that recruitment plan to see what works best for that organization.
Right. So you're saying we're seeing more small companies, we're seeing startups. What type of startups are, and what are they looking for? Tech talent, they're looking for marketing people. What are the companies that are looking for, you know, what are these entrepreneurial startup companies in the region? We're hearing a lot about them. What are they looking for?
Yeah, so if I could answer that in one sentence, it would be a Jack or Jill of all trades. So startups, what they're truly looking for is somebody who feels comfortable in a variety of settings. So they might have those technical skills, but they also might have a marketing background. And that's one of the areas that employers can look for, these students who not only are earning a bachelor's degree, but also putting on a minor or a certificate, or they're doing experiential education, so they're getting a diverse work experience. So a lot of our smaller organizations, our startups, our entrepreneurs, are looking for those students who aren't afraid to dig deeper into a couple different areas and have a diverse skill set.
And last week, you know, this is a really interesting connection. As you know, we had a very large partnership announcement with Erie Insurance. Now, part of that is scholarships and bringing students in here who we might not otherwise see. But the other part is we're going to have funding for our students and student teams to work with companies. And we're really looking to help those companies that might not otherwise be able to access this talent, like entrepreneurs. Are you getting any response to what we announced last week? What's your viewpoint on it?
So I think there's overall excitement about the Accelerate program. And one of the reasons being we have entrepreneurs and startups across the community who could use that support. And we also have students who could use the experience, but also need a way to fund their college education. And so I think this program offers an opportunity to give the entrepreneurs the skill set from the students that they need, and then also give the students the experience that they need to get some internship or work experience before they graduate and look for full-time employment.
Great. I want to switch gears a little bit. Millennials, right? We hear a lot about millennials, and everyone is saying that they want to recruit these millennials to Erie, PA. It's a national craze, if I may say so, but a good one, because, you know, they're the echo boom after the baby boomers. They're going to drive demographics for a long period of time. But in theory, from everything that you read, they have different behaviors and they're, you know, different style of work, different thought processes, and a lot of employers say they have some difficulty relating with them. Do you have any advice for employers and our students who are of that generation who are looking for careers, and is this even real? It's generational difference.
Yes, there are generational differences. So what I would say is there are skill sets that still remain important to all employers. So we know oral and written communication skills, leadership, critical thinking, and problem solving. Those aren't going away. But what we're seeing from employers is they're looking for this added skill set that hasn't necessarily been part of the conversation before. And so some of those things that employers ask me for, they're looking for students that have a maturity. They want somebody with grit or perseverance, and they want somebody with confidence. And so those are sometimes a little bit more difficult to write into a job description. So employers understand what they need on the academic side. They have those traditional skill sets that they're looking for. But now with this millennial workforce, they're really looking to narrow down to those candidates that have those qualities of confidence, maturity, grit, and perseverance.
I'll tell you, I'm really impressed with a lot of the students that I see day in and day out. I know it's always easy to get into this intergenerational warfare, and there are clearly differences. But I'm struck by how good they are at making presentations, how good they are with their oral presentation skills. And I know that employers want that, but they do, somehow they're developing those on campus. Am I right or wrong in that?
No, you're absolutely correct. So I think part of that is the academic structure. For example, here at Penn State Barron, we work communication skills into our general education coursework. But students are also taking advantage of networking opportunities with organizations. So anytime that a company goes into a college campus or hosts an event within the community, they have the opportunity to meet these students and have the one-on-one conversations. And so what we're seeing is students becoming more and more familiar with that so that they're able to share more productive information through presentations or even one-on-one conversations.
I want to switch gears again. I noticed in your when I was looking at your background that you're involved in women in leadership organizations. Mm-hmm. And is there any particular advice that you have for our young women on campus who are looking for careers and anything that they need to be looking out for? Is the pay gap? I was reading a report this morning from leanin.org. They just released it yesterday. And it points to the fact that there's a differential, mm-hmm. and even taking into account childbirth. So let me just go a little further with this. That differential probably starts with the first job. Your first job is your first salary that's going to mark your benchmark for the rest of your life. What's your advice?
Yeah, so let's look at a broad perspective first. We know that there are certain classes, races, genders that sometimes fall a little bit behind as early as their first position. So what we like to do is make sure that everybody's getting equal opportunities to take advantage of workshops, one-on-one information sessions with counselors so that they can practice things like job salary negotiation, interviewing techniques, and so forth. And so while the pay gap is a real thing, especially for women in their first opportunities for a full-time position, what we like to do is have those conversations early, coach them on the research that they need to do and the processes that they can go through to make sure that they're on equal footing.
So have you had cases where you think that employers are offering salaries that are too low based on gender? I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
Have you gone back and told people that you need to renegotiate?
And so it is a gender inequality and pay gap is a real national trend. I can't say that I have specifically seen it with an employer here at Penn State Barron, but our employers are great at reaching out in advance. So we provide them with information from NACE, National Association of Colleges and Employers, and also SHRM, the Society of Human Resource Management. So the employers who are not aware of appropriate salaries, they will reach out with us, and we're happy to work with them on what typical starting salaries might be.
I think that's a great way, I think, to educate our community. I've never heard of it, by the way, specifically as a problem, but I certainly was struck by the report that just came out. And it's been an interesting topic of discussion even here on campus as of late. Let's talk about parents and students when they come in. In your role, one of the things you do is work with students as they come through the front door as well, not just the other side. So you get to talk to parents before students even make a decision to come here. What's on their mind? What do they or don't they understand about preparing for a career or the opportunities that are going to be there after they graduate?
That's a great question. Something that we see from parents during that orientation phase is they're expecting their student to have their academic major already picked out, and they want to know exactly what's going to happen for that student as far as gainful employment or graduate school at the time of graduation. And while we would love to say that every student comes in with their set major and they stick to that major and have a career that's directly related to that major, we know that that doesn't happen because college is still a learning process for the students. So what we try to do is set the student up with the most amount of options and educate them on the academic majors, minor certificates, and show them what kind of careers can come out of each of those academic realms. So one of the things that we try to do is just stress to parents that the student will get there, and we are also really involved in the skill sets that they're developing. So back to those career competencies that employers are looking for, we want to make sure that students are able to say, I have leadership skills and provide examples of that, or say, I have written communication skills and showcase that to employers before graduation.
Now let's take the, I think you've hit a really good point there. A minor, experiences, all these things can add a tremendous amount, and I think they can be undervalued. And we know right now it's a nationwide trend, and frankly it's something that universities are struggling with, is, you know, certain majors are valued more than others. There's a market out there. But somebody who's studying English, creative writing, history, what's your advice to them on how they can, you know, improve their career prospects, that they may, or how can they enhance their career prospects so that they get the best offer, or they find a career that marries what they're trying to do, maybe with something they didn't expect?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And one thing that we do is we work with, your example, an English or a creative writing major, and we say, what types of positions do you hope to pursue? And based on that information, we're able to advise them on other opportunities as far as minors and certificates. So one thing that comes to my mind, our recent English major who also minored in MIS and went on to become a technical writer. So not only did she have the skill set that an English major would give you, but she added on a technical background that makes her marketable for the employers. So it shows that they're able to adapt in multiple environments. So it's not just English courses, but it's also the technical MIS world too. And that skill, that interdisciplinary skill for employers, is really attractive.
Yeah, that's, you know, the thing I like to stress with students is you have no idea where you're going to end up in life. None of us had a master plan to figure out where we are today. 30 years ago, maybe a few people did. I know I surely didn't. So the more you're willing to adapt and change, and, you know, I've seen some statistics that are really compelling that say, if you have a major in the humanities or liberal arts and you add an area like MIS, boy, your career prospects go way up, or the, you know, and we know over time, so I'm going to actually put it, we know over time actually humanities graduates do very well. It just takes a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. So it's there are opportunities there. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the career fair. So I will brag here about Penn State Behrend. Our career fair seems to set a new record every year, fall and spring. What do you attribute that to?
I think the success that companies see when they come to the career fair is just really easy for them to get behind. So, for example, we're asking for 4 hours of their time, and we try to make registration process and getting here as easy as possible. We provide a customer service aspect that makes them feel welcome here at Penn State Behrend. And so our employers who have visited have had success, and that's not only hiring interns and co-ops, but also full-time employment. So they've started to see the return on investment of 4 hours of their time, excuse me, of 4 hours of their time coming to Penn State Behrend, and then having those opportunities for reaching the students that they need to recruit.
And are they aware of, we've been promoting very heavily this idea of return on investment of a college education, and I'll put my caution in there every time. There's a lot more to a college education than just the dollars made afterwards, absolutely. But is that something even the employers are aware of?
So what I believe that employers are seeing is they're recognizing the student's ability to learn and to adapt. And sometimes the employers can't see that until they're physically here on campus having those conversations one-on-one with students. So they're able to see that students are going through this process of, you know, maybe they're walking up to their booth first year and they have no idea what questions to ask, but at least they're making the effort to be at the career fair, learn about the company's organization, their product, their market, their long-term plans. And so that first conversation may not be the most productive that first year, but then a student returns their sophomore year and they have more information, they've done their homework, they've listened to the conversations from other employers, so they're able to make a valuable match. And so that employer might be able to hire that student for an internship their second year here.
And that's a key point for both students and employers. In fact, I was having a discussion actually with an employer yesterday, and they had some misinformation about career fairs, and they thought if they didn't hire the same number of students every year that it would somehow hurt them. And I said, no, it's really the persistence on campus, actually. The fact that you're here and you're making a multi-year commitment to campus, students talk, they know you were at the career fair, they tell their peers, but it's also the same way for students. If they're not here as a freshman, they don't learn how this process works. So even though they may have very small chance of getting a job as a freshman, but not zero, they can turn around and they can, you know, next year they're going to be better at it because they were at the other career fairs.
Yeah. And what I would say to employers, it truly is an opportunity to build their brand on campus. So if they are looking to hire one full-time individual come May 2019, or if they're hiring 10 interns immediately, the employers see the return and see the impact. And another opportunity for employers is to speak with faculty members, because we do have a large amount of faculty who get down to the career fair to interact with these organizations. So that might lead to future collaborations beyond recruitment.
And I will tell you, that's one of the that is perhaps the thing I like most about the career fair, is it is a big family gathering. You go there, our alumni are there, employers send back the alumni, we've got students there, our faculty are there, and our staff. Mm-hmm. It's amazing to me the number of staff here on campus who volunteer for that day. How many staff does it take to put this event on?
Yeah, so for the career fair, we rely on over 30 staff and faculty volunteers and almost 100 student volunteers. And the reason we are successful is because of that customer service focus that we give employers. So once again, we want it to be as stress-free as possible on the employers, because their goal here is to meet students. So we want to take all of the hard part out of them visiting and just welcome them so they're able to interact with students and faculty and staff members.
So you started something that's really neat called the Career Closet. So not all students have access to professional dress. What are you doing with this?
So the Career Closet provides us an opportunity to allow students to borrow professional attire, because we know that they're not just dressing up for the career fair, but they might have classroom presentations, they might be going on interviews or to networking events, and we want to make sure that every student is comfortable in their setting, and part of that is being dressed appropriately. So students can visit the ACPC and borrow professional attire at any point throughout the school year.
Our career fair, it is a gem. It's an asset for the community, because it helps local companies like Lord Corporation, Technip FMC, Erie's Magnetics, Erie Insurance, I could go on, have access to a talent pipeline. I mean, is this, I think that is quote obvious, but are you seeing more of more students staying locally? Are you seeing more recruiting by the local companies?
Yes, both. So I think that brain drain is a real thing, and we are working with the organizations to overcome that. So the career fair and other recruitment opportunities are just one way to grab this Penn State Barron talent in local colleges and universities and showcase the opportunities that are available for them at these local organizations. One of the things that the career fair allows is opportunities for students of local colleges and universities to visit Penn State Barron for our career fair. So for example, this fall we had 183 companies and over 1,400 students. So 100 of those 1,400 students actually came from local colleges. So it allows an opportunity for those organizations to not only meet our Penn State Barron students, but a couple of other local colleges too.
And I'll tell you, this is one of the points I like to make too to the community and to leaders and to companies that are looking to relocate here is that by coming to this career fair, not only do they get access to great Penn State talent, but also other universities, and we're very happy to do that. How about when students go to a career fair, they're intimidated. They have to stand in line sometimes for, 20 minutes just to get to talk to somebody. Then they have a very short period of time. What's your advice to them? What's their 30-second pitch that they should make? And likewise, what do you tell employers? How should they manage that interaction most effectively?
So from the student side, a lot of this preparation comes before they even step foot into the career fair. So students should be researching these companies, the opportunities that they have available, so they can prepare of how they will best connect with the employers. So for students, it's a way to showcase their verbal communication skills, but also allow them to demonstrate how their skill set or their background or their research connect with that company individually. On the company side, what it does, it allows the company an opportunity to answer student questions, to showcase their brand, their product, but also it allows them to have a basic screening tool of a mini interview, so the companies are able to meet these students for a couple minutes at a time, and sometimes that acts as almost their first initial screening interview.
Courtney, any final thoughts before we close?
The one thing that I would share with employers is that we understand recruitment happens at all points throughout the year, and it looks different for every single employer. So some of our larger employers might engage as early as K-12 through our youth education outreach programs. Some are on campus every single semester, multiple times. Some can't make it to campus at all. So just so employers know, we work with you, whether that's on campus recruitment through career fairs or on campus interviews, job postings, and so forth. And we also stay engaged with our alumni. So not only are we helping employers with recruitment of students, but also experienced professionals through alumni. If employers are looking to get more information or connect, they can reach out to recruitbarand@psu.edu. Once again, that email address is recruitbarand@psu.edu.
Well, we are coming to the end of our time. This has been really very informative. I hope, helpful to any employers out there looking as to how can they connect with Penn State University, how can they connect with Penn State Barron, as well as for, students and families. Thank you for joining us today, Courtney. Courtney, again, is the Director of Career Services in our Academic and Career Planning Center here at Penn State Barron. I'm Dr. Ralph Ford, Chancellor of Penn State Barron for the Business Spotlight. If you have ideas for other topics we should discuss in the future, please feel free to let us know what they are. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again on Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. for an encore presentation of the Business Spotlight.